Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
G'day everyone, welcome back to the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. I am your host, Lyle Swithenbank. This is a sportsethos.com presentation, as it always is. You can follow us on Twitter at ethospelicans, at Lyle Swithenbank. If you've got time, go and give us a rate and review on whatever podcast device that you're visiting us from. We love to have you here, and we love the support. We love to see the comments and the reviews come through, and it helps us grow, helps us continue to evolve as a show and get those guests and all that fun stuff. And also, it's just nice to have feedback, because we're always evolving and changing and developing as a people and as a podcast host myself personally. So anyway, without that, in-depth, hard look at life, the Pelicans, second night of a back-to-back, visited the Atlanta Hawks. They stopped at home, grabbed a fresh pair of jocks, and got back on the road straight out after the Warriors' victory, and landed in Atlanta at about 2 a.m. local time, apparently, and had to take the Hawks on. A team that had the identical record as us, got the dynamic backcourt of DeJounte Murray and Trae Young, as well as athletic bigs Clint Capela and also John Collins. And they've got that DeAndre Hunter as well from Zion's draft class, who seems to be pretty handy in his own right. And they moved Kevin Huerter on to be able to accommodate everyone, so give everyone the touches they want. So it was going to be no easy task. The chips are against us. It was our second game in a row with the best, in quotation marks, starting five in the league. And they proved themselves again that they were very good. Unfortunately, it was one of those games that we looked a bit lackadaisical. I think we came out, we looked like we'd just been off an overnight flight, that we just played a game against a Warriors side that pushed us probably harder than they should have, and I think we're aware of that. And the guys looked like it was the third game in four nights, which it was, after from LA. Would to get like half a day off, I suppose, by the time they land. You then go and play the Warriors, who run you ragged, and then you've got to fly immediately to Atlanta. You probably even haven't had enough time to sit down and have a meal at home. You're just straight back into it. So a difficult schedule, to say the least, this first probably 10, 12, 13 games even. is really tough. And we knew that when we had a look at the review. But I suppose before we get into reviewing the Atlanta game, one thing to keep in mind is that we've had four losses so far. And this was an L. We did lose that 124 to 121 in overtime. But we also managed, this is our third overtime game this year. How many games we had? Nine. So in nine games, we've had five wins and four losses, and three of them are in overtime. I mean, Lakers won, we should have won. Absolutely, late game execution. Jazz game, late game execution in overtime, and we started slow, same in Lakers game. And same in the Hawks game again. Another slow start, dig yourself out of the hole, get the momentum at the right time, and then trip yourself up with sloppy execution down the stretch. And honestly, it was the exact same again. You have all the talent in the world, and we trip ourselves up. Look, do I think we're going to win every game? Did I expect coming in that we were going to win every single game? Of course not. Of course not. But when you put yourself in a position to win and be successful and have the talent and the expectation and things like that, and of course it's going to take time, and the naysayers will say, well, you know, they need 60 games before they're going to be playing together. And I agree. I think it's 60-game mark. If they're not playing like the well-oiled machine that they should be, then we've done something very wrong. The thing is that they've had a full preseason together, and they're not playing, but they've been around each other. They had the full training camp together. They know the system. A lot of the guys are holdovers from last year, so they know this system. Obviously, trying to get Zion involved has been another tricky part in itself, and dips in form between different guys has been tough. But closing those late games, being able to get that momentum right up, it's like seeing the flag at the top of Mount Everest and then tripping and sliding all the way back down to base camp. You know, you fought your way through all the adversity, and then you don't make it to the top. You just sort of settle in and say, oh, it's close enough. Which, we can call them honorable losses. We can call them whatever you want. I don't really think they were that honorable, the three close games. Phoenix game was the perfect storm, injuries and a team that wanted to slap us around because we made them look silly in the playoffs. And for three quarters, we're in that game as well. The positives of these three losses, the close ones, the overtime losses, is that when the chips were down, when you were down 12 with 8 minutes to go or whatever it was, even I think it was 7 or 8 points down in this one with about just over 3.5 minutes to go, and fighting back and get yourself tied through hard defense, sticking to your defensive principles, executing down the stretch, taking the easy baskets when you can for the most part, and we'll get to that. That's what we want to play. We want to play with that grit and determination. And I love the fight. I really do. And if I be objective, did we deserve to win those games that we lost? Absolutely not. We were not the better team for 48 minutes, for 25 minutes. We weren't, for 50% of the game, we weren't the better team. And the fact that these teams let us back in, or we force a door back open, is all credit to the team. And I assume, and I hope, and I pray, and all that sort of stuff, and all the get the Almighty involved if that's what you believe in. But all of that sort of fun stuff, get it involved, cross your fingers, cross your toes, that will change towards the latter part of, I suppose, this month, after you've played maybe 20 games together. Maybe there's another tweak in rotations. I don't know. That seems to be the big storyline at the moment. Oh, who's playing and why are they doing this and why are they doing that? I don't know. I'm not in the coach's box. But the fact that you're in these games is good. There's been one game that we were beaten decisively, that we knew that it was like, yeah, all right, there's not anything else we can give here to fight this back. The Suns are rolling, and they've beaten us convincingly. And even that, I think, was 8 or 9 points. Like, convincing win, you know. That I put that in quotation marks. It wasn't, for the most part, a thrashing. It was an arm wrestle. But I am optimistic that these wins become learning wins and learning defeats. Sorry, these defeats in overtime become learning moments and learning defeats that we can teach guys. Now they know how to, what it's like when you're in these close games. You've had three bites of the apple. The minute we win in an overtime game, it's over for the rest of the league because we've had a lot of practice at it. Now, that being said, did I expect to be 8-1 after 9 games? Absolutely not. Did I think we could be better than 5-4? Well, perhaps. Did I expect Brandon Ingram to get knocked out and miss 3 games? No. Did I expect Zion to get hacked out the air and miss a couple of games? No. Did I expect Herb Jones to get injured and miss 2 or 3 games? No, I didn't. See, all of these things are, it's all well and good to be saying this when the schedule's first released and you say, all right, well, I think we could probably win 7 games. And then you get these injuries and you're like, well, maybe we're lucky to win 4 of these, 4 or 5. I think we're on par. And if we beat Indiana tomorrow, all of a sudden, no dramas. You're 6-4, 60%. You extrapolate that out. That's, you win 6 out of your 10 of every block of the year, of 8. That gets you to 48 wins. You pick up a couple extra ones throughout. You know, you're nearly at 50 wins there. It's already 10 more wins than last year. I mean, obviously, that's extrapolating off a very small sample size, but you have a look at the league. 48 wins is going to be pretty handy. I think that's going to get you around that 5-6 mark in the West. It's going to be a tough year this year for teams. Everyone has brought their A game. If we're in the East, we'd be near on the top. But anyway, I digress. This game. So as I said, the Pelicans visited the Atlanta Hawks. Second night of a back-to-back, overnight flight, get in at 2 a.m., everyone's knackered. You have your French toast a little bit later in the morning. You know, you wake up bleary-eyed, have a coffee, and G-Temp ties the knot in his double Windsor tie, polishes his Crocs, as we saw that he rocked up with the game in. And we take on a team that, like I said, had the exact same record as us, 5-3, we're up and about. They're in their home court. Atlanta, their stadium looks awesome. And their crowd is awesome as well. You can see it on TV. It's just rocking. And I'm looking forward to visiting Smoothie King Center to see if it rivals it. But that was a good crowd. And they get up and about. And the guys thrive in their own vicinity. You know, they'd also been off since Wednesday. So despite Trae Young having to wear some sunnies because he had a crook eye, well, they say it was a scratch or something. It wasn't conjunctivitis. He had his little work sunnies on. He went off. And these guys looked rested. And our guys looked tired. They genuinely did. So first quarter, they jumped out to a quick lead. We were in a bit of trouble, I thought, from the beginning. And I talked to some of my friends about it. I was like, well, the Hawks might get hold of us in this one. We managed to drag it back to 1 point down in that first quarter. So it was 29-28 in favor of the Hawks. And honestly, we got Zion going early in this one, which is something that we're all pleading for. Get the ball in his hands. He looked unstoppable. Got John Collins in foul trouble very early. And it was looking good. Brandon Ingram had his notorious second game off injury, woeful game. And by woeful, I mean he was just normal. He was just regular for everyone else, every other NBA player. But probably not to the standard that we know that he can and that he'd hold himself to. I think his rhythm was a little bit off. But they were all up and about. And to manage to fight back with a little help from our bench friends, Jose and Larry again, it was pretty neck and neck. Second quarter, man, they came out and punched us in the mouth. They really did. 31 points to 24. Second quarters have been our Achilles heel this year. And especially in the games that we've lost, especially in overtime, it's been these second quarters that we've really just shit the bed in. And when you have one quarter particularly where you let them get out, I mean, that was a 7-point lead in going into the half. So it'll be 8-point actually, I think. Going into the half, all of a sudden you're looking at it going, all right, we've got to do some digging. We need a couple of runs to get us going. And we know we start fast after the in the third quarters. We love jumping people in the third quarter. So as a fan, you're sitting there going, well, they'll turn it around, won't they? That's what you want. Third quarter, we come out 33-28. Yep, claw back. And all of a sudden, it's a closer game. We're looking at a deficit that is completely manageable. You get on another run and all of a sudden, it's all square. Now, the last quarter started woefully. We turned the ball over a heap. We weren't executing, I think, in that second quarter, actually. I'll revert to that. I think we missed 8 of our first 9 shots or something. But anyway, it wasn't pretty. That last quarter was not much better. And it wasn't until about the 7 or 8 minute mark where I think everyone just looked at one another and said, I suppose we better go and win this game now. And we went into overdrive. Everyone was defending the living daylights out of it. Dyson was subbed in for a little bit. Zion got going. Everyone was starting to play together, move the ball. It wasn't sticking quite as much. And there was a bit of pep in the step. And you could hear the crowd go a little bit quieter in the broadcast. So you're sitting there going, what's going on here? You were forcing Atlanta to make tough passes. They cooled off a little bit. And we managed to drag it all the way to a situation where we're up by 2 with, I think it was 12 seconds left. DeJounte Murray comes down the court. CJ goes one-on-one with him. And DeJounte hits a little two-pointer to send it to overtime. And while he triple-doubled, it wasn't a very efficient one. But again, it was a triple-double. He did dominate the game. So did Trae Young for them. But we end up winning that quarter 24-21. Off to overtime. We actually had about 3 seconds, I think, at the other end, 4 seconds to run a play. Instead of giving the ball to Zion, who had been unstoppable in the last quarter, we gave a little curl screen to Brandon Ingram. Safe set of hands, decent look, miss a shot. You know, that's the rust that he had. The rhythm was off, and we miss a late game go-ahead and off to overtime. Overtime started woefully. We turned the ball over. They got up two possessions straight away. They scored twice in a row. And typically when a team scores twice in overtime in a row, you're in a bit of trouble. We thought we were about to draw it. Larry Nance got a little leak out of a turnover. And he jumped too early, missed a layup. And they went back and put it up by another possession. And we were in a bit of trouble from there. And while we fought back and a controversial call from Scott Foster, and I won't direct you to that Netflix video about his mate who was in the gambling or anything like that, but just keep it in the back of your mind that Scott Foster overruled a call on Devontae Graham, who pump faked and got 3 free throws. It was overruled, said he was out of bounds. We then saw his foot in the replay, and he was not. I'd like to see it again. I'd like to see it refined. I'd like to hang that photo in the Louvre, and I'd like to see the last 2-minute report. But anyway, I will not hold on to that. The guys had played long enough. They needed a rest. And what's to say we don't go to overtime too and something else happens because the guys have been run off their legs. So you probably get flogged anyway. I don't know. But I will be waiting for that report with bated breath. But anyway, I digress. So unfortunately, we fall 1-2-4 to 1-2-1. Over at the box, I suppose we'll do the stats first. We always do that, don't we? 43% to 45%. They were ahead. 3-pointers, 7 of 23 to their 9 of 36. They're only 25%. We've actually been good at holding other teams to average 3-point percentages for the most part. They just hit more of them because they take more. I mean, you're 7 of 23 versus 9 of 36. It just means they're just shooting more of them. And you still, even though you've taken more attempts, you've managed to hit 2 extra 3-point shots. Free throws, they had 25 attempts, hit 21 of them, 84%. And we had a dismal 28 attempts and hit 20 of them. Again, you leave 8 free throws on the board. Would you lose by? 3. The maths, it's right there. That's the games. These are these games that we're having a fight down the stretch because we're not hitting free throws. I think Willie Green has got to be harder on him in terms of if you're not going to make your free throws, we're going to do a 3-hour training of you guys just running back and forth, Coach Carter style, and then you'll be knackered. You get to the free throw line and you've got to hit 10 in a row. If you miss one, we'll do it all again. And until they hit 10 in a row, and whether they're run off their feet or whatever it is, it's a mental thing. It honestly is. I know you're tired. I know your legs aren't under you. And all that sort of stuff is the second night of a back-to-back. I'm not a professional athlete. but I know what it's like to be tired and trying to execute. But you've got to hit free throws. It's the easiest shot in the game. Like, you don't have any pressure other than what's between your ears. So let's just sort that out, and let's sort it out soon. But anyway, that's me harping on that. Rebounds, smashed them, 71 to 58. Fast break points, they beat us 22 to 14. They got out and ran, and when they do that, our guys were a bit slow to get back. Offensive rebounds killed them, 19 to 12. Points off turnovers, they turned our turnovers into 23 to our 16, and that was the total number of turnovers was, we had 16 and they had 13. So if a team has 13 turnovers and you have 16, well, you're already in some trouble there. So take care of the ball. We know this. This is not bloody rocket science. This is just some bloke in his bedroom in Australia telling you what you should do better at your job. But anyway, oh gosh, it is a funny concept, isn't it? But anyway, take care of the ball, because we'll win these games, and I'm sure that will happen. I know later on, or middle of last year, we turned the ball over heaps. By the end of it, we were being a lot more careful and cautious with the ball, and more deliberate with our ball movement, which I think hopefully will come as we get more reps in. Well, that's what I'm praying. We'll grow together and we'll start stringing a few games together. I think the 6-game homestand coming up is going to be well, it's well earned already, but hopefully it will help us solidify as a team and really just get a bit of rest. Get a bit of, you know, there's nothing quite like sleeping in your own bed, I tell you what, especially when you've been in LA for 6 days, but I digress. I'll go to a break now. After the break, we'll come back, we'll do the box score, we'll do a few extra comments, we'll preview the Indiana game that comes up on Monday night, pardon me, and then we'll pack up. So stick with us, and I'll be back after this.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, listeners, it's time to talk a little fantasy hoops. Do you remember who led you to Tyrese Halliburton, DeJounte Murray, Terry Rozier, and Mikal Bridges before any other rank list? That's right, it was the Brewski 150, and you probably turned those huge wins into some cash, didn't you? Well, great. The Brewski 150 is now available to all Fantasy Monthly members, including the extremely affordable Fantasy Pass at just $5.99 a month. Head to sportsethos.com to upgrade to a fantasy pass now and dominate your drafts. Okay, everyone, thanks for sticking with us. Welcome back to the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. I am Lyle Swithenbank. The Pelicans lose to the Hawks 124-121. Hawks in the last 7 games have actually covered the over in total points. But anyway, this is not a gambling podcast, and nor do I condone any of that nonsense that is gambling. A vice, shall I say. Why would you want to make money from watching sport? But anyway, I digress. We're going to the box score. Brandon Ingram had 38 minutes. He had 16 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 blocks, 7 of 23 shooting, and only one turnover, but he's minus 3 on the night. Zion was pretty damn good. 37 minutes, 29 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 11 of 20. Missed his 3-pointer, which was interestingly took that right at the end of the game. But in this one, he had 10 free throw attempts. Hit 7 of them. So, yeah, 8, and all of a sudden you're an 80% 3-point shooter. Anyway, had 7 turnovers, which was not ideal, as you can imagine. Yeah, but he was used a bit more as point Zion, which I do like to see. So he plays better when he's got the ball in his hands. Let's Give it to him. Anyway, Jonas, 25 minutes, had 13 and 17, one assist, one steal, one block, 5 of 12 shooting. Tell you what, you can't teach tall. He was getting a few rebounds. He was getting jumped all over by Clint Capella and John Collins. But again, he did his job. He got another double-double. Herb Jones, 33 minutes. Started slow, but ended up being quite good offensively. He was big down the stretch. 19 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, 7 of 13, and no turnovers. They gave him a minus 6, but they can go away. I thought he was great. He tried his best. CJ McCollum, 41 minutes. He had 29 points, 10 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block. 12 of 23, 52%. Did he have the most shot attempts? No, same as Brandon. So again, interesting. 4 of 9 from 3. He was solid. He led us all the way through the early parts of the game. Disappeared again late. But that happens. You've got to share the load. He was a 0 on the night, plus minus. So read into that what you will. Trey Murphy, 17 minutes, had 2 points and 2 assists. 0 of 3 field goal of his attempts. And missed his 3-point attempts. And we need to get him more shots. He shouldn't be running cardio for 17 minutes and only get 3 shots. He's the best 3-point shooter. Let's sort that out. Let's put the ball in his hands and let him shoot the ball, because Trey Murphy's our best 3-point shooter. Najee played 12 and a half minutes, no points, defended like he always does, 2 rebounds, missed his 3 shot attempts. Jose, only 15 minutes. Again, what are we doing? Let's get those up. This is not early 2021. We do not need any of this nonsense that we're playing everyone and not playing Jose. So he had 5 points, 1 rebound, 4 assists. Momentum shifter as always. Larry off the bench with 27 minutes, 8 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, 1 block. He was solid, missed that last layup, but you know, you shouldn't be in that situation anyway. I will never hang a loss on a singular moment in a game. I will never do that. I'll tell you for free. Anyway, would it have been nice and would it have probably helped us out if you had hit it? Yes, absolutely. Same as when Dyson missed those 2 free throws. Same thing. Absolutely. But a game is a sum of its moments, and we had plenty of horrible ones. Devontae Graham, 11 minutes, 1 assist, 1 field goal attempt, which he missed. No free throw attempts, even though he's owed 3, so we'll see that. But anyway, Dyson Daniels came on in the last quarter for 5 minutes, defensive purposes, had 3 rebounds, missed his 1 3-point attempt, a bit short. So it's hard when you're cold and you hadn't played the whole game. But anyway, he was solid in his defense and very good at staying in front of players. I thought he defended the living daylights out of it. There were times where they tried to switch him because of his length off of whoever he was guarding, whether that was DeJounte or Trae Young, and he was very good at getting back in front and guarding that player, which is exactly what you want. You want him to be able to stay in front, and when you're that long, it must be bloody annoying trying to get around him and shoot over him, and you force difficult shots. I think he was on DeJounte at that time, force an air ball, but nonetheless, tough loss. I suppose... To wrap up, I mean, we talked about it at the start. You know, you can't have too many more of these honourable losses. You want to start banking wins, particularly when you're in these situations that you're in a position to win. You've put yourself in the driver's seat. All you've got to do is start the car and you win. That's it. Just find where the ignition switch is, where the key is, and just turn it and you're done. And we keep losing the keys down the side of the car. We're like, where are they gone? They're under the seat again. You got to get out. You know, like that awkward, you're at the shopping center car park and you drop your keys out your pocket down the side of your chair and you have to hop out and kneel on the bitumen. Oh, gosh, it's degrading. Anyway, that's just my own personal trauma. But honestly, shoot yourself in the foot. Let's not have no more of these close losses. If you're going to get flogged. Otherwise, win. Because we're good enough. Everyone's looking at you now. It's time to start delivering. So hopefully we can get that chemistry really firing on all cylinders. At the moment, he's playing whoever he wants. Willie Green is, because he plays who he likes. And is pushing the chemistry in terms of the other guys as far as he can before he's forced to play them. But anyway, that is a conversation for another day. So, we got Indiana coming up. That is on Monday night. Tuesday, you guys, there's no NBA on because you guys need to go and vote. I'm not going to harp on about any of that sort of carry on because this is not a politics podcast, but use your civic duty, and the fact that you don't have compulsory voting, voting is ridiculous. But anyway, it is a good thing that they're doing the NBA to make people go out and vote. So go and do that. But anyway, I digress. You want change? Use your voice. That's what it's there for. So I'm going to wrap up. We will have some guests on this week. Later on in the week, we will be joined by some wonderful people, which is always good. You don't have to listen to the dulcet Australian ocker accent. So I'll leave it at that. This, of course, has been, drumroll please, in case you weren't listening at the start, the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. I am your host, Lyle Swithenbank, at Ethos Pelicans on Twitter, at Lyle Swithenbank, if you want me to spell it, LyleSwithenbank. Listen to it at half speed if you wanted to get through that. Stay safe and look after yourselves, and let's watch the Indiana Pacers. Let's beat the Indiana Pacers, because our team are a bunch of road dogs, and they've been doing all right on the road. Let's keep it going, and then we can get home and string some wins together. So, stay safe, and bye for now.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.